Good morning. Let's see. I'm having video problems. There we go. Oh, good morning. Welcome to virtual service number 3. I have some announcements this morning. For the month of April, we are collecting for the Econimowoc Food Pantry and for the Guest House of Milwaukee. We are all aware of the fact that the current situation has created a great amount of food insecurity. The Guest House not only gives out free sandwiches to anyone who asks, but they offer a comprehensive approach to homelessness, including shelter, clinical services, housing and prevention, and long-term case management. We hope everyone finds a moment to go to the LCUUC website to donate and support these vital organizations providing support in this great time of need. If you would prefer to send a check, please mail it to please make it out to LCUUC with Econimowoc Food Pantry or Guest House in the memo line. And then I would also like to take a quick moment to wish Mayor Enstrom Fox a very happy birthday today. Good morning. My name is Carol Whiteman, and I am your worship associate today. And I'd like to welcome Reverend Shokin Moy today to be with us as we present this service. I would like to start with this welcome by Rod Richards. We who gather here in this tender and anxious and confusing time, we have been awash in a sea of information and misinformation and disinformation and this information that we seek is simply so that we may make wise decisions about how we respond and learn how we hold one another when we can't hold one another, and decide how we can be with when we can't be together. What is this we face? How best do we respond? And why is this happening? The why, the why, the why. And why do those who suffer so suffer most, always suffer, suffer? Suffer most from what we now face, why? And what can we do for those who are most at risk, most vulnerable? All the time and now again. And how do we respond and how do we hold one another when we can't hold one another? And how do we stay together and stick together and worship together when we can't be together? Yet we are, here we are. We are here together.
We light this candle in recognition of the light of awakening that shines sometimes bright, sometimes clouded, in the hearts of every being. Over to you, Carol.
The sharing ritual of joys and concerns is an important way many Unitarian Universalist congregations bring together in a community. It invites members to voice what is happening in their lives and hearts, and helps listeners understand who needs extra help and support. We have set up the Joys and Concerns form on our website, and I would like to take this time to read those, or read the one that I received. And then if you would like, you can add your joys and concerns by using the chat feature at the bottom of the page, and I will read it from there. The first joy and concern that we have is from Paula and Greg Hillman. Our MD, board certified critical care ER daughter-in-law, Jessica, is in the throes of the ICU COVID at Washington of St. Louis Hospital. She is working 80 to 100 hours a week, overflowing conditions. Please keep her in your hearts and prayerful thoughts, intense there. She advises, be safe, this is serious. Anyone else have any joys or concerns? Nora Harker says that the weather is improving and the sun is out. Big joy there. Today I'm going to light two candles. The first one is for our world, which is going through this unprecedented time of global pandemic. May we hold in our hearts all of those who are suffering and those who have died. The second candle is for our shared joys and concerns, those which I've read, and those which we choose to hold silently. And now Carl's going to play some more music for us.
Suddenly we find ourselves uptight, living in fear. No time to prepare or ask ourselves how we got here. I've been staring at my phone at home all day today. Who knows when the world will come out right? Okay. If you need more proof that we're all one, what can I say? Everybody needs every stay away, even if it makes us feel alone, it's better this way. We can show we care if we just stay sheltered in place, sheltered in place, sheltered in place.
This service title and this thought for today was inspired by this reading by Margaret Weiss. The church has left the building. The church is not a place, it is a people. The church not only is a steeple above the tree line, streets and cars, Rather, it is a people proclaiming to the world that we are here for the work of healing and of justice. The church is not walls built stone upon stone, held together by mortar, but rather person linked with person, linked with person. All ages and genders and abilities, a community built on the foundation of reason, faith, and love. The church is not just a set of doors open on Sunday morning, but the commitment day after day and moment after moment of our hearts creaking open the doors of welcome to the possibility of a new experience and radical welcome. The church is not simply a building, a steeple, a pew. The church is the gathering together of all of the people and experiences and fear and love and hope in our resilient hearts, gathering however we can to say to the world, welcome, come in, lay down your heartache and pick up hope and love. For the church is us, each and every one of us, together, a beacon of hope to the world that so sorely needs it.
Good morning. For this morning's meditation, I would like to use a bell, and instead of striking it just once, I'll strike it every 10 or 15 seconds, and that'll be a reminder to you that if you've kind of mentally drifted away back to whatever's going on in your homes this morning, to just come back again to this place, to this space, to this moment here and now. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It's true, the church has indeed left the building. Who remembers that children's thing that you used to be able to do with your hands, right? Where you fold your hands together. Here is the church. Here is the steeple, right? Open the doors. But in this case, where are the people? Well, we're not in the church building this morning. But does that mean the church has ceased to function? Carol's reading this morning says otherwise. And I would also say that we as a church have not ceased to function, even though our building is closed down and the heat is turned back and the lights are off. So one could say that right now, maybe we have no house. We are experiencing the same that folks who have a nomadic history are experiencing, maybe have experienced for a long time. That's in fact our part of our cultural history as well, because before we had this building in Heartland, we as a church existed for many years. And we started out meeting in various places. Well, originally, we left our nursery at Church West, but then moved through a variety of buildings, looking for kind of a semi-permanent space, eventually landing at the Presbyterian Church in Wales. And that's where my wife and I met up with the community, and we were renting space in the Presbyterian Church on Sunday afternoons. But it really wasn't our space. We did have a sign, but it was on wheels, and Jerry and a number of others would have to wheel the sign out to the edge of the road for our service, and then wheel it back in again and store it. We actually still have that sign. It's hiding underneath the trees in the corner of the parking lot. But at this point, we don't need a temporary sign anymore. We have a permanent sign. But many other religious cultures have a long history of being nomads. The first one that came to mind for me was the Jews. They spent a long time roaming in the desert looking for a home, right? And yet they still managed to be together and to be part of a solid and thriving community, even though they didn't have a permanent building. And what held them together? Well, what held them together was the Torah, and was their ritual and tradition and love of ceremony. There are others as well. I think about the Inuit in North America, who are also a nomadic culture, and they followed the walrus and the seal and the polar bear. And they also had their ritual and their ceremonies to hold them together. And in Europe, there is a tradition of wandering folks, the Roma, who even today yet still have a semi-nomadic lifestyle in the middle of highly urbanized Europe. And in spite of having no permanent geographic location, they still have a culture, they still identify as a community and a group. There's glue that holds them together. So I would ask you this morning, what's the glue that holds us together? Our culture, our ritual, our traditions? And some would say, well, Unitarians aren't really so big on ritual and tradition. I personally come from a religious background that did have a lot of ritual and tradition. And so when I landed at the Unitarian's doorstep, it felt pretty much devoid of that. Except over the years, I've learned we do have our tradition and our ritual. Think about the Thanksgiving dinner that Barb Adams pulls together every year. What a lovely tradition where we have this enormous potluck meal that overflows into multiple rooms in the building every year. Think about what Lynn Smith and crew do to pull together the auction night and the open mic night, which is coordinated in part by the music committee. Some of you have participated in the spring cleanup, either outside our building or inside our building or along one of the roadsides. And Jerry has been an instrumental figure in pulling those together. We've done a number of campfire sing-alongs around the fire pit out in the summer and in the fall. Some of those were organized by the music committee. Who has been part of the float on the 4th of July parade, the one that Rick Sternkopf helped to build for us? Who can remember singing the Hallelujah chorus for the postlude during the Easter service? And in theory, that would happen, I think, next week. But unfortunately, this year, it's going to be postponed. However, maybe by the time Christmas rolls around, we can get back to one of our newer traditions, that gathering for caroling and singing that was coordinated by RE with Chris Rollins and music committee, Gus. who of you participated in that last Christmas? I was there, and it was awesome. We even had a visit from Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. Some of the kids, maybe you remember attending the cons that we were used to be part of and actually hosted in our building as well. A number of you probably took service trips. I remember trips that went to Colorado and to New Orleans and to Tennessee. Maybe you were part of an OWL class. Maybe you're part of the philosophy class that Gus is running, or maybe the book discussion group that Greg Valde is running, or maybe part of the Sangha that I run. And I suspect that most all of you have participated in our most holy of holy sacraments. You guess what that is? It's coffee hour. And so these days we're doing coffee hour as a solo experience in a group setting. So if you've got coffee, raise your mug. I salute you to our virtual coffee hour. And we will be having a virtual coffee hour after the service this morning. We also have rituals that hold us together as Unitarian Universalists, and some of them are quite unique. The flower communion. And with any luck, our shelter in place regulations will be lifted, and we might be able to do our flower communion in person again this year. That would be lovely. I feel pretty certain that we'll be able to do the water communion again. That usually happens in the fall, where we come together and we share waters from all the corners of the earth. We have a coming of age and a bridging ceremony and faith statements for our youth. And those are kind of unique within the Unitarian community. Not a lot of other traditions do things like, well, they don't call it that anyway. We call a minister to our congregation. We as Unitarians pick our own minister. It's not assigned to us. And we have a lovely ceremony for calling a minister into a congregation. We also do a story for all ages. During the middle of the adult service, we recognize the value of our youth and provide ministry directly to them. And I would propose the strongest glue that holds us together are the principles, the UU principles, the seven principles that Dave Cicero and crew have painted onto the beams that actually hold up the roof of our building. They literally hold the roof up. So I want to just quickly run through those. I haven't been in that building in a while, and I did enjoy getting to see those principles every morning. So I wanted to bring them back out here. The first is the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And second is justice, equality, and compassion in all human relationships. Number three, acceptance of one another and encouragement to our own personal spiritual growth within our collective congregations. The fourth, one that I hold near and dear to myself, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Number five, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process in our congregations and our society. And number six, our goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And finally, number seven, our respect for the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are an integral part. So we are family. Whether we have a building or not, doesn't matter. We are family. Above all else. And this is the glue that holds us together. As we are having this unique experience these days, I do also want to remind everyone that it's more important than ever to look at what holds us together, but also to respect our differences. And I feel that we've done a really good job of respecting our differences spiritually, gender-wise, culture-wise, but in these days, we need to respect our differences virally as well. We are not all having the same experience these days. Some of us are at work and busier than ever before. Some of us are laid off and wondering if we'll have a job to go back to. Some of us have been let go of our jobs already and wondering, well, how long can we hold out financially? Some of us have pretty much the same household routine that we've always had, maybe not going to the store quite as often, but for the most part, no big change. Others of us are experiencing what might have been chaos at home with school-aged kids running around without the extracurricular activities to keep them busy. Now being some of us being encouraged to figure out how to work from home when we've never done that before. The home life has been completely upended for some of us. Many of us are healthy and maybe not really concerned about this illness. Some of us are healthy and very, very concerned about this illness. And some of us have already gotten sick, or maybe have a family member that is sick, or a family member that is old and suffering with a health concern where they may not survive. Some of us are responsible for no one but ourselves. We live alone, or maybe with cats and fish and a dog, but no other humans. And some of us have a number of humans that we live with, and some of us are responsible for many, many more at work and trying to figure out how do we keep everyone safe. Some of us want more news and can't get enough of charts and graphs and statistics. And some of us are completely fed up with the endless drumbeat of news alerts about our viral visitors. Some see this radical, profound shift as a blessing, maybe to put us back onto the right path as a culture. Some of us are very angry and very frightened by what's happening and see this almost as a curse upon us, because what we're experiencing is a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. If that phrase sounds familiar, it's a wonderful story by Judith Viorst. It's a kid's book, a children's book. Google it. It's on YouTube. It's a lovely read. If you've got kids, this would be a perfect thing to share with them. The terrible, no good, very bad day. And spoiler alert, the book ends without any magical cures. It just invites us to relax and settle in and say, well, some days are just like that. Right now, many of us have some days that are just like that. So please, let's do the best we can to respect our differences, both spiritually and virally. But remember to do this together, alone, but together. And in closing, I want to share a Zambian proverb. When you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. So be it. Back to you, Carol. Oh, I guess it's back to me.
Back to you, Eric.
Yeah. So, as we extinguish this flame, let us go our ways with hope in our hearts, with our spirits renewed, and with a deeper understanding of life's mystery. Now we have some postlude music, a piece called Faith, written and performed by Ken Fox. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Carl to open up everyone's mics, and we're going to leave the room open for our virtual coffee hour. Again, like last week, I'm going to ask you to state your name so we know who's talking, because it's hard to kind of follow along here. And we'll leave it open as long as people want to stick around and chat with us. So go ahead, Carl, unmute everybody's mics. I would like to just step in here too and thank Ken and his crew for providing the music the last couple of services. It's been so nice to have music available while we still try to figure out how to do live music. So thank you, Ken, and all of you that have been participating in that. All right, everybody's live.
Yeah. Beth and I are still on the beach. We're here in Mexico.
We're gonna make these mountains, you guys.
We're just wearing these black shirts to keep the sun from burning us so much.
Lois, those guys are in Mexico?
Really not. Yeah. Not unless it's Sussex, Wisconsin, Mexico.
How did you guys do that?
You can insert a background.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look for that.
It's a background they put in.
What's that?
Tony and Mary are enjoying a beautiful sunset in Florida.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Thank you.
Happy birthday,